Welcome to Jaguars Thursday. Former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli bring you expert insight and analysis of your Jacksonville Jaguars. Now to get things started, here's the host of Jaguars Thursday, J.P. Shadrick.
Welcome in, J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman in Jacksonville, Tony Baselli in Pittsburgh. Heinz Field, the site for Thursday Night Football. We'll get to Big Bowl coming up. Jags-Browns coming up Sunday at First Energy Stadium in Cleveland, Ohio.
I'm kind of concerned, J.P.
For?
I'm already starting to think what I need to bring, you know, to stay warm.
Well, it's just what you would bring to go hunting, right?
Well, yeah, but, you know, I can't wear camo.
Well, not the camo part, but the underwear and the socks and all that, right?
Yeah,
Be the same.
Yeah, I'll have some of that.
Like the long socks and the thick wool.
Yeah, I'll have some of that. What? What do you want, Joe?
Why can't you wear camo?
Joe Fortune.
I mean, not in a press box, but...
We're not in Green Bay. I mean, if you're in Green Bay...
Fit right in. I mean, Green Bay, you either wear one of two things, okay? You either wear blaze orange or you wear camo, and that's okay. Cleveland, though... You know, you definitely don't want to wear blaze orange because you don't want to get confused for a Cleveland Browns fan.
That's correct.
Okay. And camo, I don't know.
Have some decorum. Press box.
I'm not afraid to sport camo anywhere now.
Well, not this I know.
You know that.
This I know. As long as you're warm. We don't want logs cold.
I will have something very warm to wear. I can assure you of that.
You don't have to explain what. We'll use
something very warm.
We'll use our imagination.
I might even get out the, like Doug was talking about, you know, get the Vaseline with the squirt of Flexol 454 or Bengay, whatever it is that the guys use now, you know, and rub it all together and then just start rubbing it on me, you know.
Was that the trick? I
never heard of the, you know, where.
Did you ever use anything? Because I know you used to go out without a shirt on before the game. I heard this through the grapevine somewhere in the building. You used to go out pregame without pads on, without a shirt on, long ponytail, mullet thing, and just, like, work out. Is that true?
Probably.
Okay.
But
I'm sure it was not always 80 degrees when you did this.
No. I don't know. What Doug was talking about, putting the little shot of, you know, the muscle loosener, you know, the Bengay Flexol 454. Mm-hmm. What is it called now? Icy Hot?
They still have all that. They have it
Icy Hot,
yeah,
right?
They still sell all that.
Yeah, we never use that. We just use Vaseline, you know, and you would take Vaseline and you would basically coat your body, you know, with a very, very thin layer and then put, you know, like a real light, you know, like a heat gear type Under Armour, you know, material, which back then it was either made by Starter or you just found something from your hunting clothes, or you found pantyhose. I mean, for under your pants. Seriously. I mean, Joe Namath was the first one that ever did that.
That's right.
But you would take, you know, that light, you know, petroleum jelly coating and then put on a light layer. And then you'd put the jersey on, but I never wore anything more than that, even if it was 40 below, just because you felt like you couldn't move if you had anything else on. But you had to be very careful with the Vaseline because you didn't want to get it in your shoes, on your feet, because then you would get blisters. And you obviously didn't want to have it anywhere around your hands because then you'd lose your grip. But there was always somehow, some way that some of that Vaseline kind of ended up in your armpits of your sleeve. You know,
funny,
and on the jersey,
it's amazing how that works.
You know, so that when the offensive lineman went to grab around your
just sleeves, happened to grab in that area,
they would happen to get a little bit of that greasy material on their hands. They just couldn't hold on for some reason.
I don't know why that is. Let's go to Heinz Field in Pittsburgh. Tony Baselli is on the announce crew with Westwood One Radio. He has analysis of tonight's Thursday night football game, the Tennessee Titans at 6-3, Steelers at 7-2. Big Bo, I don't want to know what you're doing for the cold weather tonight in Pittsburgh, but how are you?
You know what I'm doing? I'm wearing a jacket.
You're soft.
Enjoyed the long, elaborate explanation from Logs that he's going to lube up the arms and everything else to stay warm in Cleveland. I'll be in a jacket, and that's about it.
No long johns.
No long johns.
I'll have my long johns on.
He's a tough guy. He's a Boulder, Colorado guy. He's a tough guy.
What's the temperature supposed to be?
It's a high of like 32.
Negative 20.
That's not bad.
That's cold.
How about the fact that I'm looking on the field right now and Ryan Shazier is out warming up in his shorts, and that's it.
Yeah,
it's 41 degrees.
Here's the thing, Tony.
41.
If you and I had a body like Ryan Shazier,
I would never wear a shirt.
I'd never. Never. I'd live
I'd
for like a coat and tie.
I'd
wear
never.
A tie, no shirt.
Yeah. Never. I would never. I wouldn't
a jacket.
Even own a shirt.
But no shirt.
I wouldn't own a shirt. I'd just walk around with no shirt on.
We'll get to this game tonight coming up. Plenty of talk about
but
this.
But I don't have that body, so I wear a lot of clothes.
We'll get to this Thursday night game coming up a little bit later. But let's talk Jags here in the opening segment. Jags-Browns coming up. This is what this team's built for, right? If it's going to be a sloppy game, run the football, play some defense, and get out of there with a W. That's what this team's built to do, right?
Hold on, JP.
Come on.
Wait a second. Okay. Is it going to be – I haven't looked at the weather report. Is it supposed to be raining or snowing?
Yes.
A chance, like 50% chance of snow – light rain.
Yeah, and wind. It's going to be a 20-mile-an-hour wind.
Yeah,
okay, that's fine.
It's going to be windy.
Yeah. Okay, then that your comments make sense. I thought we were just talking
about
the
pool. What do you think? I'm just making it up? What are we doing here?
Yeah, sometimes you do. We've been around each other long enough where I've caught you making stuff up before.
Unbelievable.
So I just wanted to make sure this was not a chance, another opportunity for that for you.
That said, this football team is built for weather like that, right? They need to go win the game.
No, this is exactly right. I mean, they would be better. I mean, if you think about it, this is a northern team in Florida. In fact, if it was blowing 80 miles an hour in sleeting rain and cold and everything else, they have an advantage because of the way they run the ball and play great defense.
Well, and I think that, you know, part of that,
I think it's an advantage to them.
Part of that playing great defense is, you know, the ability to stop the run in a game like this. And look, the reality is that the Jaguars, when they acquired Marcell Dareus, they were ranked 32nd against the run in the National Football League. And since he has arrived, they have jumped all the way up to 25th. He has made that big of a difference in their run defense.
And
not
he needs
only,
to play more, Jeff.
It's not like he's played a lot either.
Well, it's not only his play, but his arrival has spurred better play out of the other two guys that are trying to keep their play time. Which is the way it is.
Jeff, with that said, Dareus needs to play more.
Yes, I totally agree with you. The way he threw the Spencer Pulley, the center, around for the Chargers in that game, wow. Wow. I mean, threw him around like a rag doll. Good football player. Big, strong man. He's gonna play a big part in this game this week.
It's a Jaguars offense, Tony, that has a lot of guys on the injury report this week. The offensive line, again, is part of that. The wide receiver core is banged up a little bit. You might see some youngsters getting time at that position. So it's not an ideal setup in that regard. You want your guys healthy here for the stretch run.
Yeah, but everyone's dealing with injuries. It's the NFL. No one's 100%. Not one team. Everyone is missing something, and the good teams figure it out and make it happen.
Yeah, and offensively, it'll be interesting to see what they do. I mean, with Parnell not practicing and being inactive this past game, Amame didn't finish the game, and he's been on the injury report, hasn't practiced yet. You know, will, you know, Shatley start out the game at left guard? You know, Josh Wells, will he be the starter at right tackle? I mean, you don't know.
If you know Amame's not in, Jeff, I think I would put Linder at left guard and put Shatley at center. You're better off that way.
Yeah, you might. You might. It'll be interesting to see what they do. You know, because
if anybody could do that on short notice, it'd be Linder, right?
He could do it. But I mean, here's the thing, guys. Okay, Danny Shelton. Okay, Danny Shelton is playing for the Cleveland Browns, nose tackle, and he's a really good run defender. You better block him if you're going to run the football, because if you don't block him, you're not going to run the football very well. So, Linder at center. I'd be tempted to leave him at center just because of Danny Shelton playing the nose tackle opposite.
And that's fair. But the run game doesn't worry me with Shatley. He's a powerful guy. He does fine against the run. If they had a great, you know, put their best pass rusher over the nose, then maybe I'd worry about it a little bit more.
But they don't have one.
I just think you're more comfortable with Linder at guard. But, I mean, it's a coin flip.
We'll see what happens. This Jaguars offense trying to get jump-started. The defense.
Well, here's the one thing that Tony and I both agree on. The offensive line has to be better against the Cleveland Browns than they were against the Chargers.
Those are worst outing.
It was a rough day. Rough day at the office for those boys.
Well, I mean, look, the Chargers have Bosa and Ingram. They're fantastic players, and, you know, and give them credit because they are. They're great players. And they played a very good game. And it didn't matter where Joey Bosa lined up against whoever. He beat whoever. He's that good. And Ingram gave plenty of problems to Josh Wells and also, you know, the guards in some instances. I mean, because he's a quick movement guy. But you got to be better. Against the Browns on a cold weather day, you'd better run the football better than you did against the Chargers, I can tell you that. And it's not going to be easy because from a ranking standpoint, the Browns were better than the Chargers. Totally better. They fly to the ball.
But the Chargers defense have been playing better coming into the Jaguars.
Yeah, in the weeks leading up to the game. And look, the Browns.
And they got their best linebacker back. That was a different Charger defense than we've seen.
Yeah, well, look, the Browns have been consistently good all year now, stopping the run. I mean, that's the one thing about
Greg
Williams' team. They run hard and they play hard.
Jeff, it'll be interesting to see what Greg Williams does because last week the Chargers, Gus Bradley, kept regular personnel on the field when the Jaguars went to 11 personnel, their three-wide package. And they did that giving up maybe some things in the past, but they did it to stop the run, and they were very effective.
Mm-hmm.
Almost a little bit, not as extreme as the Rams did with Wade Phillips. But it'll be interesting to see if Greg Williams says, we're going to stay in base and force Blake Bortles in the passing game to beat us.
Well, I think that's exactly what he's going to do, and I think he's going to blitz to stop the run. I mean,
I do too.
That's Greg Williams. You know, and here's the one thing that Greg Williams will do. He will do some stuff, okay, that is not sound fundamentally. So, in other words, let's say you bring in, you know, people run a zone dog, okay, zone blitz. And it's typically a zone blitz is 3 under 3 deep, okay? Greg will send a zone blitz with a 2 under 3 deep. He'll totally leave one zone unoccupied. He will do stuff like that.
Overload the side where you can't pick up enough, you don't have enough guys.
And he's expecting the blitz to get there before the quarterback recognizes that a zone is wide open. I mean, that's just the kind of stuff that he will do. So if the quarterback is sharp and he goes through his progressions quickly and he anticipates, then Blake can have some big-time plays. Big-time plays against this team.
Jaguars defense. Hey, Tony, they got players out here talking about they're going to shut out the Browns. Tashaun Gibson went on radio earlier this week, ESPN radio, by the way, and said they're going to drop 40 on the Browns and shut them out. And didn't really come off that in the locker room today. Yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. I was never a big proponent of giving a team any extra motivation. I just don't see any value to it. But we'll see if they can back it up. I mean, Tashaun Gibson has nothing to do with how many points they score. Well, I guess the defense does. They
could.
Points, too.
28 so far this year.
Yeah, that's true.
Led to all the points in a couple games where they had like 4 and 5 turnovers and the offense went crazy with it.
That's right. You're exactly right. Now, the reality is it's tough to shut people out in the NFL. I mean, and the Cleveland Browns, while they are winless, have played some teams tight and played them tight into the fourth quarter. And so it's never as easy as you think it's going to be.
Defense, though, this defense is playing at a high level when they're rolling, and they're pretty much rolling right now.
They're the best defense in the NFL, JP.
Yeah. Right.
Let's just call it what it is. They are the best defense right now in the NFL.
I mean, if you look at, you know, and I made a little list here, and this is the highlights of the Jaguars season. Okay, 4 defensive touchdowns scored, right?
Mm-hmm.
Talvin Smith, Miles Jack, Barry Church, Dante Fowler.
Mm-hmm.
You got 10 sacks in the opener against the Texans. You got another 10 sacks against the Colts. You also shut out the Colts. The Ravens in the first half, you allowed 15 yards in the first half. In the second half against the Bengals, you allowed 12 net. Okay? I mean, those are highlights sometimes. It takes like a couple years, maybe a decade, to get some highlights like that as a defense.
Yeah, 10 sack games don't come around.
No.
Right?
I mean, they're stacking it up. And then you got to add to that, okay, 2 takeaways to get a comeback victory against the Chargers. Okay, and one of those takeaways was in overtime and essentially won the game for you. I mean, if that's not big-time defense, 5 interceptions against Pittsburgh. I mean, holy cow. I mean,
they won the Charger game. Let's just call it – I mean, the Jaguars scored 8 points
despite
offensively.
Despite the quarterback interceptions.
Yeah, they overcame.
What worries
all
that. Me, Jeff, a little bit in the last two games, this offense has scored a total of 24 points.
Hasn't been a lot.
It's got to change moving down the stretch. Let's come back, and we'll get into this Thursday night football game a little more tonight. It means a whole lot more tonight to the Jaguars than it normally does. The Titans at the Steelers. Tony Boselli is in Pittsburgh this evening. Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
You got to pick your spots, obviously, in the passing game, but really, you know, try to go out there and establish the run game, obviously, to make everything easier. And, you know, I believe we have the personnel to do it. So, you know, our focus is just going in there, paying great attention to detail on the plan and, you know, just doing what we do. I mean, you can't put too much on it. We just got to do what we do, get back to what we do.
Mercedes Lewis, when asked about cold / snowy weather offense for the Jags.
Well, let me say one thing about Mercedes now. He's got to do a better job on field goal protection.
Oh, it was him, huh?
Yeah, that last game winner kick that was deflected. He had, you know, when you're a wing in field goal protection, you always protect the inside first. Okay, what's the shortest distance between 2 points?
Straight line.
Okay. Yep. And it's a shorter distance for the inside guy than it is the outside guy.
That
so you
sense.
Always protect the inside, make the outside guy run around. So he kind of left the inside guy, and he was the one that deflected that kick that could have been a disaster. But anyway, Mercedes, it's a big game for him this week. It's his 150th career start as a Jaguar, which will tie him with Jimmy Smith for second all-time in Jaguars history. Obviously, the number one guy.
Brad Meester.
The Meester. So, congratulations to Mercedes. 150 starts in a career with one team. That's a big deal.
I mean, with
that's impressive.
Yeah,
that's
really
a,
is.
Quite a career. Quite a game tonight in Pittsburgh. The Titans 6-3. The Steelers at 7-2. We saw both of these teams earlier in the season, of course. And last week, Tony, Tennessee won this game with DeMarco Murray. A couple of rushing touchdowns, and he scored the game winner on a pass in the final minute of the ball game. It's a ground and pound, exotic smash mouth football team in Tennessee.
He couldn't wait to say that, Tony.
That's what they
yeah,
do.
Yeah, but Mariota had a very nice game, both throwing it and running it. He had the long. He was the leading rusher actually for the team. Most of Murray's stuff was short yardage. Where the scores and the one catch was a short yardage catch. And they are getting better in the sense that Corey Davis was active last week, finally. And you watch him on tape. He is so impressive. I mean, Logs talked about him back when we were talking about the draft in the offseason and how impressed he was of Corey Davis. And watching him, if they get him more involved, he had four catches last week. But he is an explosive guy, and they're trying to get him more and more a part of that offense, and he's going to add another dimension. It's an interesting group.
He's a game changer. I mean, once he kind of gets his feet underneath him, you know, he's had injuries to deal with. Corey Davis is a game-changing wide receiver, and he is going to be one, and I guarantee you that the Jaguars, the next matchup, you know, if he stays healthy, he will be the guy that Jalen Ramsey is going to see. And that he will cover because he is that dynamic of a playmaker.
You know the other interesting thing they're doing now is they're using Adoree Jackson on offense.
Yeah, hey.
And he has some
dynamic returner, right, at SC?
Yeah, he's still returning, and they use him in the backfield on some RPO stuff, run-pass option, and he is a problem. He only had 6 plays last week, but I think they're going to use him more and more because he adds another dimension out of the backfield that – puts a lot of pressure on defenses.
And he's been a big help to their defense now. I mean, he's stepped in and done a really nice job as their starting corner. Good player.
Yeah, and with him and Logan Ryan, Jeff, they're playing a lot more man, which Dick LeBeau has been known for the zone blitz. They're at about 50% man coverage now, the Tennessee Titans are. And I think it's because of the confidence they have in Logan Ryan and Adoree Jackson.
How are the pass rushers playing? Jarrell Casey, Derek
Morgan, Brian Arakpo,
exactly.
Jarrell Casey, those three.
How are those three doing?
You know, they're disruptive, but they're 29th in the league in sacks. They only have 14 sacks on the year. But when you watch the tape, they're much more disruptive than that. But they're just not finishing. They're not getting the quarterback down on the ground. So it's interesting where if you just looked at the numbers, you're like, oh, we don't have to worry much about this group. You know, 14 sacks this time of the year after nine games, it's not very good at all. But you turn on the tape, and they cause trouble.
Yeah. Morgan's kind of always been like that, though, Tony. He's never been a guy that could finish. He would disrupt the pocket, but he would kind of just miss the sack kind of a guy.
Yeah, and Jarrell Casey, I don't think, is playing as well as he is in the past. He's still very, very good, don't get me wrong. Arakpo is, you know, the same guy we saw. You know, he had a strip sack last week. He's going to beat you. He's going to expose you if you don't take good sets, and he's going to play really hard. He's going to bully you and push and close down the pocket, much like Derek Morgan. But they're not getting a bunch of sacks, and they're just okay because of it in pass defense. They're very good in run defense. They're sixth overall in the NFL, and they're doing a nice job.
And during the game, I want you to take a look at this. Jarrell Casey has the smallest calves on a human being that size, maybe ever.
I might use that in the broadcast.
Small.
He does.
Do you have a source for this?
No, I'm just saying, if you look at the guy.
He studied it, JP.
He's 300 pounds, right, Tony? He's a 300-pounder?
Oh, yeah, he's big now.
And his calves.
Apparently his calves aren't.
Look like he's a 180-pounder. It's the craziest thing. Just take a look next time.
I'll watch it on TV tonight. That's the first thing I'm going to look for, calves.
Doesn't change how he plays, but it's just been something kind of crazy, you know? Like the quarterback has big hands or he doesn't have big hands. And will that mean he fumbles the ball more? You know, it's a meaningless stat.
Well, I'll tell you one thing that will be fun to watch tonight.
Besides Cavs?
Not the Cavs. Is going to be the Titans offensive line, who I really like. I love their tackles. Against the Steelers front seven, especially Hayward, the defensive end for the
Casey Hayward,
Steelers,
great player.
Who is absolutely dominating football games right now. I mean, what he did to the Colts was borderline abuse. And that whole front is playing really good football. The Steelers defense is carrying this team right now, led by Hayward and then Ryan Shazier, the linebacker. Those two guys are playing at such a high level. And they got a lot of people around them playing well. And the matchup against the Titans offensive line, who I think is one of the better offensive lines in football, will go a long way in determining this football game.
Ryan Shazier is playing at a level that, to me, just from a speed standpoint, I don't know if the league has ever seen it. I mean, really.
Ever.
I mean, yeah. I mean, we you know, Telvin Smith's fast.
Yeah.
Okay? Ryan Shazier is a notch above Telvin Smith when it comes to speed. And he's playing the game. And, Tony, you remember going back, what was it, a couple years ago, when Shazier was, you know, I think a rookie, and it was in, preseason. They were playing him. They were playing him, like, in the fourth preseason game in year two.
No, he was in the doghouse.
He was in a major doghouse. And Pittsburgh Steelers were like, look, we got to get him better. He's not good enough. And you watch him play right now, he's playing, in my opinion, he's playing at the highest level of any inside linebacker that there is in the game right now.
Well, he is playing very well. And then you flipped on the other side. The Pittsburgh Steelers offense is the biggest mystery in the NFL this year.
Quarterback.
Can Ben shake out of it?
Well, they're only scoring 18 points a game.
Quarterback.
And they have Le'Veon Bell, who leads the league in rushing. He also leads the league in attempts. He has 220 attempts, only averaging 3.8 yards per carry. They have Antonio Brown, arguably the best receiver, who's leading the league in receptions and yards. And they also now have Juju Smith-Schuster, who for a rookie is as good as any rookie wide receiver in the league right now and is playing at an extremely high level. And they can't score points. It's amazing.
Quarterback.
So 31st in the red zone, Logs.
Comes down to the quarterback play.
61% passing for the year, 83.7 rating, 12 touchdowns, 10 picks.
83.7 rating, okay? Ben Roethlisberger, 83.7. Blake Bortles is an 81.8.
How about that?
Okay. Wow. Didn't Ben used to be an elite quarterback? Is an 83 quarterback rating elite level? Nope.
And he's thrown one interception, at least one interception, in five of the last six football games.
Wow, how about that?
Quarterback.
Yeah.
Pretty simple.
Got weapons around him.
Yeah.
One foot out the door.
You still think that?
Yeah.
Is that the talk up there still, Tony, about?
No, I haven't heard that much this time. I heard it last time, but not this time as much. But watching the tape, his accuracy is just not there.
Tony, when's the last game or the last time that you remember, you know, because Ben Roethlisberger made his name because he was in the pocket and guys are kind of bouncing off of him and he's spinning around doing what Blake Bortles used to do, you know, going back to his rookie year. Mm-hmm. Okay, when's the last time we saw Ben Roethlisberger do that kind of thing?
Well, I did the playoff game last year. I saw him last year do it. And I haven't watched every game this year, but the four or five I have seen, I haven't seen it once.
Yeah. It's different. Well, I don't know why.
Talking about Smith-Schuster, the rookie, Juju Smith-Schuster, he has 290 yards and two touchdowns in the past 2 weeks.
Mm. Well, wait a minute. They should put in Martavis Bryant. Just ask him.
Well, Martavis Bryant is now the third receiver, and you talk about a receiving core. How about if your top three receivers are Antonio Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster, and Martavis Bryant? I mean, you talk about explosive players.
And they still can't score.
It's unreal. It's absolutely crazy.
Unbelievable. So we got a good one tonight. Tennessee in Pittsburgh, the Titans and the Steelers, Thursday night football. Two really good football teams going at it tonight.
So I got a quick question for you guys. Yeah. Which is better for the Jaguars, the Titans to lose or the Steelers to lose?
I always say it's the division team.
Division's
first.
Always important.
Yeah,
more important.
Because you're not in the tournament yet if you're the Jags, so you need the division team to lose to help you.
But here's my argument. You look at the Jaguars' schedule remaining. If they just get a little bit better or more consistent on offense, there's not a team they should not beat on that schedule. And they have the tiebreaker against the Steelers. I'm not saying they're going to go undefeated, but this team figures out a way to win the rest of them, and the Steelers get one loss, they're all of a sudden the number two seed in the playoffs.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't
– And whether the Titans lose tonight or not, that last game's coming down is going to determine who wins the division.
Yes.
Because even if the Jaguars have a one-game lead, and if they don't win it, they lose the tiebreaker against the Titans.
You got to get in my opinion. You're the only way you're assured of getting in is winning the division. That's more important.
Yeah. So
Tony's getting a little ahead of that.
Yeah, you are.
Tony's got to win
ahead
it.
Ahead of myself.
The silly cart is before the horse right now.
No, it is. It's better for the Titans to lose. I'm not saying I agree with both of you. I'm just saying you can make an argument based on the schedule and how this defense for the Jaguars is playing. And now special teams as well. They scored touchdowns on special teams the last 2 weeks. And it's with a defense who is number one in the league. And if you start getting points on special teams, you're going to be a hard team to beat.
I don't own a terrible towel, but if I did, I'd be waving it tonight because I need the Steelers to beat the Titans. We'll come back and get into some picks. Somebody had a good week last week. You had a decent week, Logs.
No, I had a good week.
Yeah, you're okay. We'll see how good it was when we come back. PRI Productions, the official event production company of the Jags, has everything you need to bring your next idea to life. Visit PRIProductions.com. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
We're back. Jaguars Thursday. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Vaselli is on location at Heinz Field, Pittsburgh for Thursday Night Football. The Titans and the Steelers coming up. Fantastic matchup tonight with major implications for the Jacksonville Jaguars. If the Steelers win tonight, the Jags are in first place alone in the AFC South. At least for a couple of days.
Well, depending on what happens on Sunday.
Well, by definition, they would be.
Well, they will be.
Right. The same. They'd be, take what you can get right now, Logs, okay?
And
you
go earn it. First right now. I mean,
they have the tiebreak.
And they got an opportunity to earn it.
It'd be a half game. Okay. You know, it'd be a half game.
see.
It's like baseball standings.
Stop quibbling about whether they're first or not. It does not matter.
Great. Fine. You know what? You know what matters?
Games
the
to
end
play
of the year.
Yet, JP.
End of the year.
Slow down. Games to
Everybody's
play.
Fired up about these standings. You know what else people are fired up about? Pick standings. Let's go last week's
Let's
results
see it.
First.
Let's see it.
Tony Boselli led the way 11-3 last week.
Whoa.
What a week.
Yeah, baby.
Whoa, look
Jeff
at that.
Jeff Loggeman, 10-4.
Whoa.
J.P. Shadrick, 8-6, bringing up the rear. Mm. But for the season, we're still leading the way, 94-52. Bo, 90-56. Logs, 85-61. So, that said, let's start
I'm
off.
I'm cutting the lead, J.P. Yeah, I'm cutting the lead.
You're hanging in there for now. Logs ain't out of it yet either, by the way.
Oh, no.
It's a marathon, not a sprint. Thursday night football, Titans at 6-3, Steelers at 7-2. Tony, you have the call tonight. Who you got?
I got the Steelers. I think the Steelers win the game.
I'm going to go with the Titans.
Mm.
I don't like it, but I'm going to go with the Titans.
I'm going Pittsburgh.
Okay. That's a big one. Of course, the Jags, would like Tennessee to lose to have that divisional game. You could debate that amongst yourselves. Lions, Bears coming up on Sunday in Chicago.
Lions.
Lions.
I'll take the Lions, too.
Ravens at the Packers.
I thought about it for a minute, but
I'm going Green Bay. Tonight.
Lions. Tonight?
Yeah, pick it tonight.
I'll take Green Bay.
Green Bay.
Cardinals at the Texans.
Ugh. I got the Texans.
I'm going to go with Arizona.
I got Arizona.
Buccaneers at the Dolphins on Sunday. Ew. Miami for me.
I'll go Dolphins.
I got Miami too.
Rams at the Vikings. Good game. 7-2.
That in LA?
That's in Minnesota.
In Minnesota.
Both 7-2.
I'll go Minnesota.
I'm going to go with Minnesota as well.
Should I?
Do it.
Should I?
Do it.
I'm going to take.
Do it.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Rams. I'll take the Rams.
Rams. Yeah. Redskins at the Saints. The Saints are playing good ball, and I'm taking New Orleans.
I'll take New Orleans as well.
I'm going to take the Redskins.
Upset special. Chiefs at the Giants. Kansas City for me.
Chiefs.
Kansas City.
Okay. Bills at the Chargers.
Chargers.
Really?
Got a new quarterback in Buffalo.
Yeah, they do. They might have a new quarterback in L.A. as well.
No, he'll play.
Phillip doesn't come out of the...
He'll be out of the concussion protocol. I'm taking the Chargers.
Okay, L.A. Chargers. Okay, L.A. Chargers. I'm going Bills. Why not? New guy. Bengals or the Broncos? Broncos.
Who's playing quarterback for the Broncos, by the way?
I think Paxton Lynch is going to play.
I'm going Denver.
Go ahead, Tony.
I'm going to go Bengals. No, they're terrible. I'm going to go Broncos.
Jeffrey?
It's an important Denver,
pick for you.
Denver.
Denver. Yeah, hey.
Denver.
You got to do it. Patriots at the Raiders. This is in Mexico City,
by the way.
Patriots have been practicing at the Air Force Academy all week.
I'm going Patriots.
Patriots.
Yep, New England all the way for all three of us. Eagles at the Cowboys on Sunday night.
Eagles.
Eagles for me. Eagles for Tony. Do it. Do it, Logs. Do it.
No running back.
You want
left tackle.
You want them.
I'm taking the Eagles.
Monday night, Falcons, Seahawks in Seattle.
Falcons.
Taking Seattle.
Falcons for me. So you have it. And then Jags-Browns. I think we all have the Jags in this one, right?
Jags.
Jags all the way. This should be a good one this Sunday. Tony, have a great call tonight.
And all right, guys. See you.
We'll see you in Cleveland. Yeah. Tony Boselli, Westwood One Radio. He has the analysis tonight.
And it's his that's the best game of the year right now in Thursday night package. This is it. Okay. Best one yet.
Well, they've had some great games. They had the
had
game
some great games, but I mean the build up leading to the game
matchup.
As far as record and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And look, it's a conference matchup. You got two teams that are leading their division. Great matchup. And then there's a lot of, like I said, there's a lot of storylines to it, So Should be a good game.
We'll come back and get to some storylines from around the National Football League.
There's plenty of them.
A lot of that going on this week. We'll get our final thoughts on the Jags-Browns game coming up as well. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
And we're back, baby. Final moments of Jaguars Thursday. JP Shadrick, Jeff Flogman, Tony Buscelli's out of here getting ready for the broadcast of Thursday Night Football. Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. Let's go around the National Football League. A lot of lawyer letters going out between league owners, I use air quotes, and league owner Jerry Jones and his representation going back and forth with some heavy letters. Jerry Jones versus the league around the commissioner and maybe an extension. Jerry Jones is not a fan of that. The league's not a fan of his conduct that might could be considered detrimental.
Well, and some of that stems, too, from the Papa John's, you know, owner coming out talking about the numbers of the pizza since the demonstrations, and Jerry Jones was unhappy the way Commissioner Goodell has handled some of the protests. I think he's most unhappy with the suspension of Ezekiel Elliott, which has been the engine of his football team for the last couple of years. And I have no problem with Jerry Jones wanting to rock the boat a little bit with the league. And I think that if you talk to other owners, they probably wouldn't be as vocal about it. But there are owners that are probably not happy with the commissioner, the performance in certain areas. Number two, some of the power that he wields from the league office over the ownership group as a whole. And then also number three is compensation. I mean, Roger Goodell is making a lot of money. And I'm sure that, some reported, I think it's going to be a $40 million range, So let's say you find somebody for 10. You think you could find somebody capable to be the commissioner of the National Football League for $10 million a year? I think you could.
Well,
okay?
and guess what
that would do, JP?
What would that do?
That would put $1 million in every pocket of an owner of the NFL.
The other argument is that under Roger Goodell's commissioner time as commissioner, the value of franchises has gone
way up. No doubt.
So he's made them a lot of money over the years, too.
There's no doubt. And look, I think it's all
going to get... $1 million might not be a drop in the bucket of what they've made already with Roger Goodell as commissioner.
Look, here's the thing, though. Do you think that NFL owners buy NFL teams to make money and value the franchise? They want it to be a good investment, right? Okay. But are they looking to flip it?
It's not like a house. No.
Hell no,
it's not like a
JP.
Flipping.
Look,
no.
Right. It's an exclusive group.
That's right. It's hard to get in.
And that
looks shotgun. It's tough to get in.
Being in is what it's about. I mean, they want to be NFL owners. And look, you want everything to be a good investment, But at the same token, that's not the sole reason why you buy an NFL franchise. You buy it because it brings you notoriety like you've never seen.
Right.
And, it's all going to get resolved. And Jerry Jones has claimed that, look, he just wants to have final say over the approval with the other ownership. And instead of having the compensation committee negotiate it without having final approval of the other NFL owners. I get it. Jerry's unhappy. But he will be fine, and eventually things will go on and be normal.
A lot of muscles flexing right now on both sides. That's just the name of the game.
Here's the thing. I don't know what's accurate and what's not being reported. I mean, there's a lot of things that are flying around out there, and how do you know what's true and what's not? There's reports that Roger Goodell, wanted a private jet for lifetime use after.
Well, who wouldn't? Yeah.
I mean, I don't believe some of that stuff that's being bandied about. It's not a big deal to me. It'll all get resolved. But it's nice to see an owner kind of bucking the system a little bit, trying to say, look, I'm not going to toe the line.
So you were an Al Davis fan probably, weren't you?
I thought Al Davis was one of the great owners in the National Football League. I also think Jerry Jones is one of the great owners in NFL history.
Yeah.
And the great owners are the ones who have a tendency to not want to maintain status quo, that are willing to drive the league to new heights. Because you know what? Al Davis did it, okay? He drove the league to new heights. Jerry Jones did it with some of the ways that he expanded revenue streams. And he opened the eyes of a lot of owners around the National Football League. You know, so guys like Jerry, guys like Al Davis, the league needs ownership like that.
Well, one player that Jerry Jones will not have is Zeke Elliott. He is suspended, and he dropped the remaining option to fight for the last two games. So he's going to serve all six games, it sounds like.
Well, I mean, look, the reality is he probably wasn't going to win. You know, so why delay? Just go ahead and serve it and be done with it. But there is a lot of serious questions about the legitimacy of the league's findings and enforcement of suspension. And I question some of it myself, you know. And there's a lot of questions that are involved with how the league went about the process of interviewing witnesses and making the determination based on certain testimony. And it's very involved, but I think there is legitimate questions to it about what the league came handing down six games based on what? What was proven?
Right.
I don't know.
Cowboys had some issues, though. Not only Zeke Elliott out, but they got a tackle out.
That's
they got
the biggest
some defensive
question.
Issues right now.
Their left tackle is arguably the best left tackle in football. The guy that played in his place this past week, Adrian Claiborne, had six sacks and was the NFC defensive player of the week for six sacks. And, you got to have better play out of the left tackle position when your guy goes down. The next man up wasn't very good in Dallas.
Next man up in Buffalo, but it's a coaching decision, a quarterback switch in Buffalo. Tyrod Taylor goes to the bench. Nathan Peterman from Bartram Trail here in Jacksonville goes to the starting role for a team that's 5-4. And, yeah, New England 7-2 leading the way, but Buffalo's got a true chance to be in the hunt here in December.
Well, they do, and that team has really had gotten off to a 5-2 start because of their ability to take the football away. They're now showing some signs of weakness up front, stopping the run. Well, duh. They traded away their best run-stopping defensive player in Marcell Dareus to this team, you know, which is great for the Jaguars. I can't believe they actually did it. You know, and they've got questions on offense. You know, Tyrod Taylor has always been a guy that can run around and throw the ball. If you're going to ask or expect him to stay in the pocket and read a defense, that's not what he does best. He does things best when things are off schedule. The running game has fallen off a little bit. There's a lot of questions in Buffalo. And here's the thing. Did anybody expect the Buffalo Bills to be 5-2? No. Did people expect the Buffalo Bills to even reach 5-4? No. You know, so, hey, look, it's a great opportunity for Nathan Peterman. I hope he does well. And Tyrod Taylor will be with another football team next year.
Anthony Lynn thinks Phillip Rivers will play this week. He was limited in practice Wednesday. Has not missed a regular season game since his second year in the league. 194 games consecutive starting for Phillip Rivers. Concussion protocol this week after the Jaguars' defense got to him last week.
Yeah, and that happened early in the game. That was really the only hit that he sustained.
Was that the high-low thing?
Yeah, it was high-low.
And then he made the tackle on the last play.
Well, yeah, and I don't think that had anything to do with it. I think it was the going over backwards and when he kind of tripped over DeJuan Smoot and you could see the head snap and hit the turf. You know, and I think he's going to play this week. Phillip Rivers is an ultimate competitor. You know, it didn't seem to have any ill effects with his level of play after that point. And I think they're just being overly cautious, which is smart. You know, look, that's the way the league is now with some of the questions being called about Russell Wilson, you know, and other concussions around the league that are being called into question about the treatment of them. You know, I think right now that if anybody has any type of concussion system, the teams are going to be very cautious in their approach.
There's our look around the National Football League, some headlines, other people's headlines that we read each and every week in the final segment.
I think there's a lot of headlines around the league that are very interesting to me. I mean, I can't get enough of it. You know, every day. You know, you read the different stories going around the National Football League. You know, the stories that are being bandied about John Gruden possibly, you know, being interested. He's, you know,
college,
he never says never.
Right.
No, heck, there's rumors flying about him returning to Tampa. You know, Dirk Cutter and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and where they are, the disappointment that the fans have in that organization. You know, there's it's going to be interesting to see, and I know we're not quite getting to that point, but we're starting to get to where it's becoming a conversation, is where are the hot seats at in the National Football League?
You know what's fun, though, is that this team is not in that conversation.
And that's great.
Right now.
You know, and there's one seat that is hotter than any in the National Football League, and that's Bob McAdoo in New York.
I mean, Ben McAdoo, yeah.
Ben McAdoo. Mm-hmm. I mean, his seat is burning him up. I mean, he's got blisters on his behind.
And it's only November. Ain't going to get cooler, that's for sure, up in New York. So the Jags and the Browns coming up Sunday. Our final thoughts about this football game. It's a Browns team that's 0-9, but don't look at that record. They've played some close football games this year. The defense has kept them in a lot of those football games this year with the inconsistent quarterback play on the offensive side. So this is not just to show up and lay 40 on them and shut them out, as you would tend to believe if you hear Tashaun Gibson talk. It's a game where you throw in the weather factor that you never know. I mean, any given Sunday, so you got to go up there with your game on and go play.
Well, you know, you look back at last week's game against Detroit. You know, the Cleveland Browns ended up controlling time of possession. They ran the football very effectively. They had over 200 yards on the ground. Their quarterback obviously was a part of that because he added over 50. Their offensive line is capable. You know, so when you get into cold weather games, it typically comes down to play of the special teams and who runs the ball better. And the Browns are capable of running the ball pretty good. They're capable of making some big plays on special teams. They have a first-round draft pick safety in Jabril Peppers that does some punt returns and also some kick returns.
Good player for Michigan.
Yeah. You know, so, you know, it's going to be interesting. Look, cold weather games and inclement weather games sometimes can neutralize a lot of things. And if the Browns take the air out of the ball, which I expect them to, because they don't want to challenge the Jaguars secondary very much, because I don't think their receivers are very good, and mainly because their quarterback hasn't been very good.
That's in all kinds of weather.
In all kinds of weather. Right. So I think they're going to stay on the ground. But, you know, they jumped out to 10-0 lead against Detroit and battled them hard, and Matt Stafford ended up making some plays at the end of that game to win, to kind of walk away winning. But it's you know, it'll be a fun game to watch, I can tell you that, because I want to see how this defense responds to Sean Gibson's comments.
Yeah.
Do they come out at a high level and are taking it all as a personal challenge to make sure that they have his back?
And talking that talk this week.
And then after the game, then you go to him and say, shut your mouth and don't ever say it again.
Just keep it quiet.
It's just unnecessary.
Right.
You know, I mean, be a pro, you know, and grow up and move on. You're not in Cleveland anymore.
It's been years ago, so it's not like he's first year here.
Yeah, so I don't get it. You know, I mean, it's and he wasn't that demeaning to the team. I think it was more directed towards just the organization part. But look, when you're with that team, any negative commentary towards the organization is viewed as a negative commentary towards your football team.
A lot of questions on offense this week. A lot of guys on the injury report. We'll keep a close eye on that. Certainly close to game time on Sunday as well.
This is the most anticipated inactive list that I think all year long.
Really?
Yeah. Because of the offensive line, Fournette, will he be active? It's going to be interesting to watch. I can tell you that defensively, the Jaguars are very healthy. You know?
We'll see. We'll see what's coming up this.
I'm knocking on wood on that stage.
Oh, is that? Oh, okay. I know what you're
reading. That is a wood table, and I'm knocking on it. You want them to stay healthy on defense.
How about those Steelers? Let's get it done tonight.
I want to be entertained, JP.
Black and yellow.
I want a good game.
All night.
I want a good game.
Smother the Titans tonight.
Good game.
The Jags at
Pittsburgh. With exotic smash mouth.
Jeff Lagerman, Hollywood Max Hockman, Joe Fortunato. I'm JP Shadrick. And thanks to Tony Baselli as well. Thanks for listening to Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.